Let's take a minute and pray before we get into the Word this morning. And I think we've got a great message. It's very much to the point, and I'm excited about this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for bringing us here this morning. Thank you for this time and place. Thank you for our country. We just lift up our leaders to you. We know that they are ultimately under your control, whether they love you and serve you or not, Lord, that you put governments into place and you remove them and you have your way with anyone and anything in this world, Lord. And we recognize you as God. And today I pray that we're here to just humbly in our attitudes and our hearts to bow down before you and just worship you. And I pray that you would give us an open heart to what you have to say. Lord, we could come in here sometimes with a closed mind or a closed heart and not wanting to hear, and we won't. Or we can be open to you and just soft, and I pray that that will be the case today, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today's sermon is called Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. Now, many businesses fail because they fail to keep the main thing the main thing. So one of the things that you might get out of this is if you're a business person or you do something in maybe you're not, don't have your own small business, but maybe you work in some type of business, but you have to know that the success of your business relies in keeping the main thing the main thing. And when businesses get off track and they get involved with other things, then the main thing is no longer the main thing, and then they are not successful in what they're doing. Right? Have you ever been part of that or experienced that in your life? Where sometimes you lose track of what the main thing is and you're not very successful then. And there are examples of this, and one of them that I looked up, I found an example of this online of somebody who actually had the very same title. And this is a popular saying, it's not one that I made up. A lot of people say this, and I think it's probably been the title of several sermons here before. But it really fits the content of Acts today. But could you imagine if you went out to catch the bus and you were at the bus stop and the bus driver saw you there, but he just sped by you really quick? And you said, well, wait a minute. Why didn't this guy stop? And it happened again. And so you called the bus company, Pierce County Transit or whatever they're called. And you said, hey, the bus is not stopping at my bus stop. And they said, well, we know that. We understand that, but they're running behind schedule and we need to keep our schedule so we can't pick you up. It slows us down to pick you up. They're saying the main thing is to keep their schedule. But when the main thing is to pick people up and give them the ride and take them where they're supposed to go, right? That's the main thing. And so they had lost track of the main thing if that were was the case. So it's like that for us. As Christians and as a church, we come together. We have a main thing here. We have a main thing. And sometimes there's a lot of other good things that we have. Like keeping a schedule is good, right? It's good if a bus keeps a schedule. But if they lose track of that and they lose track of the fact that they need to pick people up as the main thing, there's a problem. And we as a church have a main thing. And that's to be followers of Christ and to help other people to be followers of Christ. And if we lose track of that main thing, and we can do it lots of ways, there can be other good things that come along, then we ultimately will not be a success on God's economy. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, I hope that you're very excited about being in church this morning. And we are in Acts 6, so open your Bibles to Acts 6. And you know we've been just going through Acts if you've been paying attention here, and we've heard about a lot of growth in the church. We've heard about opposition to the church. We've heard about the apostles being locked in prison on account of the gospel. We've heard about sin in the church and how that came up against the church's growth and how God dealt with that and how that caused people to fear and honor God, but the church to continue to grow. And now we're hearing about a first division in the church. Acts chapter 6, let's go ahead and read there. And I've been using the English Standard Version for quite a while now, so your translation may be slightly different. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, now it's hard for me to say these words, I'll admit it, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed, and they laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So, I've read through it. Now I get to pull out my new toy here, which is a couple weeks old now. And Dennis, you get to just relax and enjoy the sermon now. Okay. And also, just if one of these red dots appears like on you, like right there, like in your chest or something like that, don't get too afraid. It might be just me hitting the button. It's not like a gun or something pointing at you. That's funny. Now, come on, laugh. Okay, so the outline of this sermon is this. In this text, actually, I should say, and the sermon will follow it. In verse 1, you hear about the division in the church. And so, believe it or not, I'm sorry, sometimes you have divisions in churches. We come together, and even if you picture in this case, the people had all things in common. There was great love for each other. The church was growing, and they were really living out their faith. But even in this, There came a division, and churches sometimes have divisions. They have little what start off as little splinters and little issues, and sometimes they fester and they get worse and they result in like a split. And so one of the things is we want to take care of any little splinter before it becomes a split, and you kind of see that here in this case. But the verse 1 is the division, and it's the Hellenists, and that's the Greek-speaking Christians now. So it's those who have come to Christ who are from the area, who are Greek. They're not Jewish as their original background. The Jews probably speak Aramaic, and these guys speak Greek. And so you have their widows being neglected in the distribution of food. So the church at that time was feeding the widows. They had quite a big, you could call it a program, to share the food with the widows. And you know, you had people selling their property and laying it down before the disciples, as we talked about that a couple weeks ago. And then they would take those funds and they would use it to give to the needy. And the widows were a big part of that. And even in the Bible, that we know that what it tells us is that the religion that God appreciates so much is when we look after widows and orphans in their distress. And when we keep ourselves from being polluted from the world, that's what another place in the Bible tells us. So in this case, this was quite a great thing. They're caring for the widows, a very, very good thing. And the second part here is they addressed the complaint by choosing 7 men. And they didn't just pick them at random, but they had some qualifications for these men. And they asked the people to set them aside and to choose them here. And so these were the things that they looked for. Good repute. That means a good reputation. Full of the Spirit, full of God's Holy Spirit living in them, and that they showed God's wisdom in their lives. And then finally, verse 7 is the result of what happens here. And the result is that the Word of God continues to spread and the disciples multiply. That's the basic passage here today, but let's go through it. And then I like to just share with you line by line, verse by verse, as I think about things, as I'm looking at this. And here we'll start in 6:1. It says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number." This is exciting. I don't know. You could read over this really quick. But this captures the time. What was happening is the disciples, that means the people that were devoted to following Jesus Christ and to living out the Word of God, what it said in their life, that number of people was increasing, and it was increasing greatly, and it was happening during this time. And That is what we can only hope to see, and we could pray to see, and we can work to see, and we can put everything out there to see the number of disciples growing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I shared this a while ago, and I was just talking about this with somebody in the back, but it's so exciting that we as a church, we could grow by just collecting a lot of people that bounce around from church to church and make them part of our church. And that's fine if people want to come here and be a part of what we're doing. We're excited about that when they do. But you know, ultimately, like, a really great thing to grow this church would be that we reach people that do not know Jesus and they get saved and they start coming to church here and then they start growing in the Lord here. And that is the basic plan for growing this church and for doing it, is not necessarily to just reach out and find people that aren't happy where they are. But to reach out to the lost and have brand new people that don't know Jesus come to the Lord and grow here. Amen? And look, a pastor or the, you know, people can't like do it. Pastor Len and I, we don't do that by ourselves. It is a whole congregation effort to do that. And so that's what we want to see. That's what we're hoping to see. The disciples here at Elk Plain Community Church increasing in number. And things will come up. And hopefully like this here, we'll deal with them. Okay, so the complaint was the Hellenists, again, Greek-speaking Christians, arose against the Hebrews. These are more your native Jews, speak Aramaic, because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So this was a daily thing. They gave out food. And the 12, so this being the apostles, the 12 apostles, they summoned the full number of the disciples. And that was probably a lot. This is very large greeting. So this is thousands and thousands at this time. We remember, because we've seen it grow from 120 to, you know, several thousand to 5,000 to go on and on. And we keep reading about it growing, the church growing. And it says they summoned the full number of the disciples and they said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables." And as I read this the first time, I kind of used the wrong inflection on it as I read it, because it's not like they said it angrily. But what it was is they said, "Hey, we have a very important job here, and we know what our job is, and we know what our primary calling is. Our primary calling is to teach the Word of God." And then we'll see, like in the next verse, that you can't do that without prayer. So it's a devotion to teaching the Word of God and to prayer. That's what the apostles knew. They knew what their calling was, and they said, "Although this is a good thing, sharing the food with these widows is a very good thing, we cannot let that get in the way of our primary responsibility. And we know that there are other people in our midst who are capable to take care of this. So we're not going to let this happen." And he says, "Therefore, brothers, pick from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." So he said, you, part of this formula is for you to pick from among yourselves 7 men who have a good reputation with how they live their lives and what they're about, and they're not entangled in some difficult situation or sin right now. Pick these guys of good reputation, and they need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're seeing this again and again, that we've talked about this church is a Spirit-filled church, and that's why there was this growth, and that's why it was taken off, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective, or how God would like you to see them as a person. Now, you can't fully see it from God's view, because God is infinite and He knows everything. But God certainly, He gives us some of His wisdom, and He wants you to see things a certain way and think about things a certain way. So one of the parts of wisdom is that you have an eternal perspective. Now, do you want wisdom? You know, there's the world's wisdom, and there's, you know, what people think and they call wisdom, but that's not wisdom. Real wisdom is eternal. It's of eternal value, and God's wisdom is eternal. And like, they needed people that had an eternal perspective, that weren't just so caught up in the here and now and the problems of today, but they looked past that and they knew that whatever that they suffered or whatever they went through, it was okay, because they had their eye on what was to come, and that's the eternal life. And they weren't so caught up in material and things, but they really cared about people, and they cared about people, their needs. They cared about them knowing about Christ and these things. So that was an important part, wisdom. And we need all those things today. all of us. So I would hope that every single one of us, as we're here today in church, that one of the things that we're looking at is we're seeing this and we're saying, you know, do I have these things? Do I have a good reputation? Well, maybe you don't have a good reputation. But your reputation is repairable. And this is very much a moving forward faith that we have. Is like, leave where you are. Repent from your sins. Go forward. Move forward. You know, you can have a good reputation. You can build that. You can be full of the Spirit if you surrender to God. And you invite Him in increasingly. And you get in His Word and you grow in Him. You can be full of the Spirit. He can control you. Now, what does it look like when you're full of the Spirit? Are you doing all kinds of like supernatural things? Well, the answer to this is complicated. It's yes and no. Okay? It's not that you're working some great miracles or something like that, or speaking in tongues or doing these things. But what it means really most significantly in the Bible to be full of the Spirit is that God is controlling you, that you have joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, that you're shaped and equipped so that God can use you. And that is supernatural. Do you know that it is more supernatural for me to have patience than for me to heal somebody or something like that? You know, I mean, that would be, you know, I don't even think about those things. You know, if God does that, if He wants to do that, He could do that. But what I'm saying is, it is so supernatural. We lose track of the fact that God changes people. He changes hearts. He supernaturally works on our hearts in a supernatural way. And that is the real miracle there. And so that's what they were looking for. Full of the Spirit and wisdom and seeing it from God's perspective. Now, the apostles said, but what we're going to do is we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. So they said, we will not lose track of the fact that why we're here is we have to teach the Word of God. And we have to pray. And that needs to be the main thing that we do. That was their role. Now, that didn't mean that other good things didn't need to happen, because that did need to be backed by these other things, caring for people's needs and doing these things. But the main thing that they knew what their role was in this situation, and their role was this, teaching the Word of God and prayer. And in our church, it's like that too. And in your life, it's like that. I'm going to look at this from a lot of different ways. But just as a church, it's probably somewhat obvious that we have some people that are in the roles where they stand and proclaim and preach and teach the Word of God. And hopefully that's their calling when they do that. And that is something that they need to be able to devote themselves to, because it's very difficult and challenging to do that. Amen? So we have people that devote themselves to that. And it's not just pastors, but it's people that teach, and people that teach in women's groups, and people that teach Sunday school classes. But they have a certain role where that role allows them to preach, to teach, to share the Word, to devote themselves to that. It's clear. And they could not do that, or I couldn't do this, or Pastor Lynn couldn't do it, without other people that come alongside and provide support and play support roles. So here we're seeing that. And we have the same thing in our church. So you may be, in your role at Elk Plain Community Church, more of a support person. And you're needed if you're a support person. You may be a person that your job is to proclaim the Word somewhere. And it may change, and you may do a little bit of both. So you have to be familiar with that. But it's very important, and we need that. And as he shared this plan with the people, he says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So they chose these guys, and these guys were chosen by the people, you know, by the people, for the people. If we think of it like that, it reminds us of, you know, us choosing our representatives and doing this. But it was important that they chose people, because like this barrier that existed with possibly language between the Aramaic speaking and the Hellenistic speaking, these guys were able to cross that. They were basically natives of the land there, and so they were able to do that. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and they laid their hands on them. So this is something that you'll see again and again in Acts and throughout the Bible, that when people get set aside, and we do this, a lot of times we send people, we call them up, we're going to send the missionaries away, we bring them, we pray for them, we lay our hands on them. We're not thinking that something magical is happening, but this is a pattern we see in the Bible, and what we do is we pray, we touch them, we're there, and that we are asking God to impart on them everything they need to do their mission. And that's what they're doing here. They're praying for these guys that have been set aside to do this. And the Word of God, and this is the result, and the Word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is exciting. Don't miss this part. Okay, so as a result of this, many people came to know God. And the church continued to grow. And not only that, but many priests, so many people that were Jewish priests that were committed to following the law, the Old Testament law, they came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ and became saved. You realize how exciting that last part is? Now this is a great story of how there was this division and it was dealt with, and God used this even to grow the church and to bring continued growth. But I always like to say, what about today? How does this apply to us today? Why is our life different? How should this hit us? What's the main thing for the church, just as a whole? A lot of wrestling. But I think the main thing is the mission that we talk about, which is to reach the lost for Christ, to teach them to follow Christ, for ourselves to follow Christ. And it is following God. So that all fits into following God. So are you a believer?
Yes.
Are you a follower? You could believe somewhat academically in your mind about Jesus. You can know all the facts. You can know things in your mind, but do you truly follow Him? Are you a follower? And there's only one person, that's God out there, that you really ultimately need to be a follower of. Follow Him. Be committed to following Him. And when we think about what it looks like to follow God, what it looks like is that we love Him. We love His Word. We love talking to Him. And we love sharing it with others. That's following God. We would have God loves people. We will love people if we follow God. God has a heart for the lost so much that Jesus left heaven and died on the cross for those who are sinners. And if we are to follow Him, then we have that same passion in our hearts. Amen? Now, I'll tell you, of the songs we sang this morning, there was one that hit me really hard, was that first one that we sang. I was looking at it, I think, that just fit the sermon so much, that first song. And I'm sorry if this is not the last song that you're singing or what that we're doing, but that first one that we sang, you know, hey, you know, equip me, God, send me out to go out and reach the lost. That's what I want to do, and that's following God. And that's the mission of the church. Now, sometimes people are going to be willing to come here and be part of that, and sometimes they're not. And I think what we're hoping and what we're looking for is people that desire to be a part of that, reaching the lost. And you don't have all the answers now. You don't have everything you need, but hopefully that you can grow and you can do that. And that would be following God. And as we follow God, we don't do it without any sources of strength. What are our sources of strength? Our sources of strength are the Word of God. So we don't just make anything up. Everything that we do comes from the authority of God and His Word in the Bible, and that is what we rest everything on. We don't rest it on our own understanding. We don't rest it on popular culture, popular teaching. It's the Word of God. So we have to be devoted to this like the apostles were devoted to it. And prayer. And you know, you hear this in our core values. Nothing of eternal significance is accomplished apart from prayer. And so we believe these are our... This is another way to say our main thing. Our main thing is the Word of God and prayer. Live those things out. Be in a relationship with God. Be His follower. More. In what ways are you a support person? Every single one of us is a support person in many ways. We're not just, I don't strictly say, well, okay, it's my job to preach, so I just preach and that's all I do. I mean, I do have to devote myself to it, and I have to look for those things that come along that get in the way, but there's also lots of support I do. I have the opportunity to help support others who want to grow and want to take on roles and do that. And Pastor Len has done that really well with a lot of people, and he's done that with me to come alongside and help me to do that. And so we want to do that and put people in the position where they can also proclaim the Word of God and to teach it. So there are ways that we are support. There are places, like, even though like I'm a pastor here, there are other places where I go that I'm not, and I'm a support person in that case. And so you have to know that support people are needed. So the question is, are you a support person? What ways are you a support person? And have you looked at those things as valuable? Or have you thought of them as not valuable? Because believe me, that work that those seven had to do was very valuable. And that's why they had to have the seven right people to do it. And God wants you to be a support person. Do you know, like, if I come into a room like this, or another room like youth group or somewhere there like that, there need to be support people in it that help with what's going on. So you have a case where, like, if you go into a room and there are people that are not supportive of what you're saying and they're not being helpful, maybe they could be being distracting or they could be doing other things, and what happens is they're not helping the people that maybe could come and are kind of curious to learn and hear. So sometimes, I've thought this a lot of times, just like showing up and being there, even if you've heard it before, is a tremendous support. I used to have this value of mine when Thomas Tate was here, who's now pastor over at Calvary, the church that Hannah and I got married in Darlene's church, when he taught Sunday school. I knew the stuff, but I came to Sunday school every week because I knew that people had to be there and had to be a support and had to show that they were interested and behind it. And so I came, and of course I did grow through those things, and I was challenged in that. But a big part of why I would do it is because I'm a support person in what's going on. And if I didn't show up, if I wasn't there, then other people wouldn't show up. And I didn't convince everybody to come and that it was important to come and share, learn how to share your faith and do these things. But I knew, and I had that strong sense that I was supporting a good thing that was going on. So sometimes just being there as a support person. Sometimes when you open up your home, you're a support person. When you just have people come in, if you have a Bible study at your home or you do something, that's being a support person. Sometimes it's giving somebody a ride that needs a ride to get there. That's a support person. Sometimes it's sharing other resources that you have. When we give this offering, I talked about that. That's being a support person. That's supporting what's going on. And support people are needed all around. Here's another one. Has God called you personally to a ministry of the Word and prayer? Now, if you're not a Christian and you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life, then the answer is no. At this time. Now, maybe in the future, He has a calling on you that's to come that you'll see, but it's not the case. But this is Christians, and I believe that if you are a Christian, if you proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and God and your Savior, that He has a calling on your life, and in some form that you have a calling that involves a ministry of the Word and prayer. Before I start giving you some ideas about what that might be, have you thought for a second about what that is? What is your calling? Your unique calling. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God has a unique calling for you? I believe that. I believe He has made you exactly as you are for a unique purpose, unique position. He has put you with people that nobody else can reach. He has a calling for you. Now, sometimes you've ignored that calling. Sometimes you've wanted to have another calling. Sometimes you've got distracted by other good things, like we're seeing here. But God has a great calling for your life. Amen? And I believe that many of you are here today because you know that God has a calling for you. And you need to know what it is. You need to think about it. And you need to where that's your calling, you need to protect it from other things that could come in and could distract from it and could prevent you from doing your work. And that's what you're seeing. That's what the apostles did. They knew what their calling was, and they were able to protect their calling. And you have to do the same thing, because the devil wants nothing more than for you to not live up to your calling. So what is it? Now I'll give you some ideas that maybe you haven't thought about. Maybe you have, but how many of you are parents? As parent, you have a great calling to teach your children about Christ, to model it in your home, to pray for them, to just, I mean, we are all priests as Christians. That's what the Bible teaches us, that we are a church filled with priests. We're all priests. But many of you, your congregation, you have one ready-made. It's at home. And you get to teach them and train them. Now, it gets really challenging when they're teenagers. You can say amen to that.
Amen.
It gets really challenging. And we don't always do things right as parents, right? Like, I've learned it's hard to relate sometimes to people that are different ages and their teens. And sometimes I come across a lot more like this angry dad. You're going to do it my way because I said this out. You ever been there before? Have your parents ever been like that with you before? No? Yeah, never? And we don't have all the answers. And it's, I guess it could be like that in church as we think about it, you know, like as pastors that stand up, and sometimes they stand up and they teach about God, and what is it that people hear? They hear an angry guy up there that's saying they need to do this and that, and he's yelling at them. And maybe that's what they're feeling, but that's not what the pastor is trying to get across, is that God is a loving Father. He loves you, but God doesn't play around, and you need to know this, and we want you to know it because we love you and care for you. And sin is a terrible thing, and if you get entangled in sin, that you're only hurting yourself. But if you're a parent, you have a congregation at home, ready-made. It's not necessarily going to be going well right away, but it's something really to work on. How about if you are a friend? Is anybody a friend to anybody? I hope you all have friends. Every single one of you are friends. Do you know that in friendship, God puts you in friendships? You know people. You can reach people. I already said this, but that nobody else could reach. I couldn't reach. You have got connections with people and open doors with people that nobody else does. And so you have the opportunity to shine God's light on their lives, to share the good news of Jesus, to try to get them into the Word, try to teach things, because this is life. Life is in the Word of God. Anybody ever coached? I coach, and it's not quite like being a pastor or a dad where you get to say as much as you want. But one thing I've seen is there's a great benefit in me doing that, going out and sharing my time with those kids and working with them. And it opens up doors in their lives and their families. And I've seen when a season goes well, and I don't just mean wins and losses, that it opens up doors in people's lives where you begin to have an open door to share with them about God. And so I can look at that coaching as an opportunity to devote myself and to pray. So pray for your friends, pray for your family, pray for those that you coach, if you coach. Anybody have a workplace? Now, your workplace is a great field where you can pray, especially pray for people. Now, you're not always as free to just share what you want. Sometimes there's great opposition, there's atheists, but there's people, you know, we talked about this right in our small group, and we're not trying to be the annoying people that want to just debate everything, but what we want to do is when we have the opportunity to share, hey, this is what I believe, this is why I'm not concerned about this problem, you know, I have faith, you know, I trust God, I'm a believer, I'm a follower, and we do that, and then you can pray for those people, you can be devoted. Now, you can go all out. Your workplace, this country is not suppressing you from praying for the people in your workplace. Right? You can't use that as an excuse. You can't say that, because, like, if you're a priest and you're one of your places that you can be devoted is your workplace, nobody's stopping you. It's only you. And so you have to protect that time to pray and to do that. And what is it that you need to protect these things from? What are the other good things in your life that are getting in the way of the very most important thing, of the main thing? And that's you following Christ and helping others to follow Him. What is it? You know, there's the individual and there's the church, right? We're a bunch of individuals. We have this question for ourselves. What is getting in the way? And sometimes it's the television. I mean, really, sometimes it's the television. In the name of entertainment, we will spend hours and hours watching junk when we could be, rather than being lit up by the light of the TV, we could be lit up by the light of God's Word. Sometimes, it's been like things like sports, which, you know, the TV is part of it, but there's a whole part of it. I play it, competition and guy things, wanting to do that. And I love all those things, and all those things are good. And you have to understand, I appreciate them. And the older and fatter I get, the more I appreciate them. I used to feel bad about going to the gym for a couple hours. I thought I was like just being selfish, you know. I really felt that way. And now I literally know that if I don't, then I just continue to increase in size and my heart is weaker and I'm not as strong. So I realize that now. So those things are out there. They're good. In my humor, I've even lost track of where I'm going with this. Can you believe that? But let's get back to the main point. What are the good things that are getting in the way here? And that's a question that you know and you have to answer for yourself, and you know what those things are. And I'm not saying that they're not worth doing at times, but you just got to know, when is it that they're getting in the way of the main calling in your life? How about as a church? We have a lot of good things that we do. And I've realized this through this summer and in some way, what we're really good at as a church is just putting our heads down and working on something and just working on a situation or just loving somebody and just doing that. We sometimes don't come up for air and see what else is going on and what else is kind of coming up on the radar, but we have the heart that's there and we're really good at that. But we could possibly, in our really good nature to just kind of love and do things, we could potentially begin to neglect the main thing. So we as a whole have to do that, and we have to make sure that all the things that we do when we're putting our shoulder to it and we're really working, that they fit into the main thing. And we can't lose track of that, can we? The main thing being following Christ and teaching others to follow Him. Now that's what it is, and we have to watch out for those things. We constantly have to be aware of them and looking out for them. That's it. Could the worship team come on up and we'll close out in prayer? And I just ask you to look for the main thing in your life. And I really believe that for each of us there are some places where it involves a strong devotion to the ministry of the Word and to prayer. And let's do that now. Dear Lord, I just come before You humbly. As if I see myself as I am before You, it should be nothing but humble. I thank You for today. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for this example of how the seven were set aside, and how the apostles knew their calling and they protected it, Lord. And I pray that You would help us to do that individually and as a church. And You would also help us to see where we are support people and we come alongside and support. And that's a key role and a key part of what we're doing, Lord. And I pray that You would not allow any of us to be arrogant, Lord, and not seeing where we need to be humble and to do those things, Lord, that You've called us to do and to support others. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.